Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number three. If you missed any parts of our earlier programming, you can pick it up at clouthub.com. Actually, I'll tell you what, and I did this intentionally. So go to, I know, right? I actually was thinking, I don't know, it's a weird thing. I had a light bulb go off and I followed it. All right, so ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com. And, yeah, you know what? Don, do you mind if I do this really quick? Just
no.
I'm just going to.
I'm hoping you do.
All right, so here we go. So you go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's the website. And then if it's open all the way like this, you're going to go over to Show Archives. And there you can see a nice picture of Don and I. Show Archives, click on Show Archives, and you'll see video and audio links for new shows is the most recent post. And I'm going to leave that there, July the 3rd. I'm going to leave that there, and I'll tell you why. When I click on that, look what happens. I can go to my Rumble, and what that does is that shows you what is, as I put up new content. You could go to audio. As a matter of fact, right now, live, you could click live right there and you'll see Don Jans, Chaps, Pray in Jesus' Name. That's the hour we're in. The one before this was Kim Harvey Brennan and John Coons. Before that, we had the Live India Service, Veronica Kirilenko, Russia and Ukraine, Rafael Cruz. So each part is broken down, each individual. It's either an hour or 30 minutes. There's the Carrie Lake interview. From Monday, that was the 30 minutes with her, the Christian Widener, the Red Heifers, Dr. David Wormser, his 30 minutes on Israel, Rick Manning and Kathy Barnett. So there you go. You can go through all of that history. And then if you scroll a little further down, you'll go to the Rumble Chosen Generation radio show again, or Clout Hub. And if you click on Clout Hub, like right now, I click on Clout Hub. Now, I am on my live stream on Cloud Hub, and there's my channel, and then you can see there's 352 viewers at the moment over there, but you can see my show live right now, the video, if you're not watching it at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. So there you go. I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a tour of what's up over there and how you can use the show archives to keep track of everything that we're doing. And then I forgot one other thing. In the Listen Arena, you can also find in the Listen Arena your favorite podcast, and we have that up there as well. So if you go again, okay, I guess it's going to make me sign in now. If you go over there, well, come on, let's go to the website. I get to go to the website? I don't know. There we go, visit the site. There we go. All right, so if you go to the website itself.
Come on, let's go to the website.
Oh, there we go. It was echoing me. And then from here, you go to Listen. And now you get the same Listen Live, but you also get all of the podcast feeds. So if you're on Deezer, or if you're on iHeart, or you're on iTunes, or you're on Spotify, or you're on CastBox, or PodChaser, or PodAddict, or you're on Google Podcasts, or you're on Giovanni, all of the links that go directly to our page on each one of these is available to you. Here's Giovanni as an example. Gio Savon. I think that's right. And so here you've got the Thursday, all the Thursday podcasts, the Wednesday, the Tuesday, the Monday. And then once we're done today, the RSS feed will update this and you'll be getting the most recent and most updated, those that are iHeart listeners, as an example. Here you go. The updated iHeart episodes right there. You can follow us on iHeart, okay? Chosen Generation Radio current shows. If you're following us on iTunes, you can go to iTunes. Oh, look at this. It's going to got to agree and all this stuff. Anyway, it just wants to it wants to open up iTunes on my computer. Oh my gosh. Now I'm thinking that I may have frozen my computer by doing this. Craziness. All right. Anyway, so there you go. But you can, again, you can go to each one of these and open them up and get there and follow us on your favorite podcast. All right. Dawn Jans is my guest. My Grandchildren's America. My Grandchildren's America. Think about that. Dawn, are we living in the America that you wanted your grandchildren to grow up in?
Not at all. Not at all. I wanted my grandchildren to grow up in a free land where they were free to, number one, worship God without any restraints by government, where they were able to think for themselves and not being told what they must think, where different ideas were welcome, where ingenuity was welcome, where the ability to go out and create your own life was not only welcomed, but it was strongly encouraged, where we were free to live our own life, make our own choices, and have our own thoughts. And not one of those is true any longer. And so we have, in the last, 70 years or so, we have just completely changed. We came out of the Second World War, and we were on an economic, really, we were on, the country was on a real high, and we apparently thought we were totally invincible, and we started to turn our eyes away from the Bible. We started to turn our eyes away from the Constitution, and all of those efforts by that ideology of what we call isms or communism, Marxism, progressivism, socialism, all of those isms began to do what had been set up primarily by Lenin as he vowed to transform the United States when he told us that he would take over our education system, when he would take over our entertainment, and when he would take over our media. And what he put in place has accomplished in our education, that was critical. And what he put in place has accomplished what he intended to do, to change the ideals of what we thought was America. And no, it's not the same. It's changed dramatically. And we talk about the greatest generation. I'm going to step on some toes here. Mm-hmm. We talk about the greatest generation, and that generation did go over, and it did free the world from Nazism, but it brought us communism. Both of them are collectivist communities, and it encouraged, FDR encouraged communism. And he enabled it very much, and it has taken over much of our country. And we are facing that today. And I don't know. I'm beginning to think that only, of course, this is true in everything, but only through the grace of God can we reclaim our freedom.
Relative to that, you mentioned the greatest generation and what happened after World War II and bringing us communism. Wouldn't you agree, though, that in reality, the move towards communism began, I don't know, some would say in the late 1800s, but certainly Woodrow Wilson and his projecting the United Nations at that point, but it was It was the, what was it called back then,
Don? League of Nations.
League of Nations, yeah. You know, which is funny because we think about that as a cartoon thing now. But the League of Nations that he created, wasn't that a step in that direction? And then Dewey in the 1920s bringing public education under the government's control?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was, and it's all part of that same ideology. And you can read about it. You can thoroughly read about it in the Communist Manifesto. Lenin or Marx made, Marx did not try and hide what he wanted to have done.
Right.
It's all there. It's right verse for verse. When I say the greatest generation failed us, I say that because we came out of the Second World War. And we had defeated a truly evil enemy. Hitler was absolutely totally evil, and we were then on an economic high. We were the power, and we thought that we didn't have to do anything more because we would be the world power forever. We took our eyes and we off God. That's when we started to have two cars in every garage, and we started to. A look at our all of our material things, and we forgot that no, we still have a country to save. And I blame us. I blame us for taking our eyes off the schools, not participating in the schools,
right.
And just saying, oh, the schools will take care of themselves, and they help.
You know, I've argued and talked about that the two income thing, that was the greatest generation kind of set that up.
Absolutely.
Because they convinced their kids that their kids should have better than they had. And I get that they came out of the Depression era, some of them, and were impacted by that and all of that. But unfortunately, it ingrained a very materialistic view of what success looked like. And then as inflation kicked in, as pricing went up, as all of those things begin to kick in, you ended up with a situation where in order to be able to have all of your bells and buzzers and whistles and so on, you had to have two incomes now. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, you'd only had to have one, and you could live fine. You could live comfortably. You could take your annual vacation. You could, yeah, you know, buy your groceries, own your home. You could do all those things on one income. Mm-hmm. But then we shifted, and then the kids watched their parents be like, well, I'm going to get what I want. And the kids said, well, if they get to get what they want, then I want what I want. And we just have, I mean, it's multiplied. Would you agree with that analysis?
Yes, I would. And I would also add one thing to that.
Okay.
That it was a great contributor to the destruction of the American family.
Absolutely. Oh, as soon as you moved mom out of the house, and, yes. and that was the goal, and golly, I wish that we had more. Because there's a Christian feminism that's going on right now where it's, you know, well, you know, Christianity is not misogynistic and it's not. We have let them once again define and dictate to us what Christianity and the Bible is about. God created the patriarch. God created the family structure, and the role of mom in the home as the initial educator, as the one who initially targets and helps the arrows to focus where they're going to go, so that then dad can be the one to fine-tune all of that in being the link between them and the world. And that's the key. But with mom gone, the arrows are just going all over the place.
Well, when you take mom out of the home, you not only take mom out of the home, But more importantly, you take her out of the lives of her children.
Yep.
Now mom is no longer at home. When those kids come home from school and they want to talk about what was going on in school.
Yep.
And Karl Marx, again, folks, understand this did not just happen. This has been planned, and it's not just recurred in our immediate generations, but it's been going on and on and on since the beginning of time. Marx said we have to have a public school system. This is in 1848. This is before the United States even had a public school system. He said we must have a public school system. Our kids must be taught by the state. This idea of kids being educated at home or in small rural schools or in small or in schools that weren't supported by the state, that has to end because we can't control what those kids are thinking.
Yep.
So now all of a sudden we end our school or we end that type of education. We put our education in the hands of the state and we take mom out of the home. So all of a sudden the influence of mom and dad has been tremendously reduced. And the influence of the state is there so much so, right, that when we get into the 50s and 60s and 70s, our parents have really no idea what those kids are being taught.
Isn't that precisely, though? I mean, you know, everybody talks right now about Disney being woke. And that, you know, Disney's, and they've said, and by the way, I mean, I've got video of it. There's video and audio evidence of them saying, we're grooming your kids. But, you know, Don, I stopped taking my kids to Disney nearly 20, at least probably 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason I did was because I was watching indoctrination then. I watched how they were attacking the family, how they were attacking dad and mom. How dad was this inept individual who could do nothing. He was clueless. And then they went after mom, and now mom and dad both were clueless, and you had the kids, and the kids were the heroes, and somebody outside of the home was who the kids were allowing to influence everything that they thought and everything that they believed.
Yes. And that started when Disney really started that. Then you also had this change in our entertainment, in movies. There were days when you go back and still two of my favorite movies are Sound of Music and Fiddler on the Roof. And both of those were extremely wholesome, wonderful, wonderful movies.
Yeah.
Everything about them was okay, now they're considered, they're being changed now so that they can relate to the new so-called culture. Our parents, we as parents, our grandparents, ignored this. And they and we became as we became more centered on our having how many cars, our bigger and bigger houses. And our financial success, we took our eyes off our children. We know as long as they were being entertained, as long as they weren't bothering us, as long as we didn't have to engage them in long conversations, and we could set them off and let them watch a TV set or let them do something else, we were contented because we were so convinced that we had to take care of ourselves. And I think that this has been it's been a great contributor to the state of our country right today. And when we look at this, who is in the Disney boardroom today? Who is in the Target boardroom today? Who is in the Bud Light boardroom today? It is people that have been educated under that system.
Absolutely. Indoctrinated by it. Well, yes. And this is why, folks, I place the blame initially. I agree. It's the generation. My mom would say, look, we thought that if we acted right, if we showed forth the right actions, we wouldn't have to do a lot of talking.
Yep.
That was the belief. Wow. Well, you're in between that. You know, I mean, you and I are a few years apart, but you know, it's that same thing. It's well, we're just gonna, you know, we're gonna just show it. We're gonna do it by our actions. Unfortunately, by doing that, it allowed the other side to do all the talking, all the indoctrinating, and take over in that manner. Now, you know, I'll tell you, my mom in the last, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years especially, has become, you know, incredibly vocal about, hey, mm-hmm. this is wrong. You know, yes. what's happening is wrong. And she has been along the way. And I'm not, my mom's awesome. I love her to death. But I'm just saying, she and I've had these conversations about her generation and about just the thing you're talking about. But I'm going to take it to this because, yes, I agree with that. But I think that the greatest issue has been the silence of pastors and the silence of the church.
Thank you. We now have churches that are splitting. Another one today where they said, we can no longer participate with you because we believe in abortion. We believe in same-sex marriage.
Which one is this now?
Methodist.
Oh, they finally completely did it.
Well, there were 60-some-hundred churches that are leaving July 23rd, I think it is, because they believe that you must have, that you must teach homosexuality, you must teach all of that wokeness in the church.
God.
Now, what do we do? How do we correct this?
1 minute.
We take control of our lives. We get very much involved in our kids' life. First of all, we get our own life straightened around. Number one, and then number two, we become very much involved in our children's life. We start setting brush fires of freedom. What is that? That is setting ideas in the minds of people, not arguing with them, not telling them what to do, but setting ideas in the minds of people.
We're going to run out of time. I want to do this really quick because Don's been generous enough to offer this. I've got five books here, folks, five books that you need in your library to be able to have the weapons at hand that will really help to combat this. And they were written in such a way, they're so incredibly prophetic in how they're written. The Road to Tyranny, Two Visions for America, Goodbye Constitution, Freedom, America, This book, which is Republic or Democracy, Understanding the Difference, Does It Matter? And then the one I just showed you, Setting Brush Fires. Five books available to you. A $100 contribution
or more
to our ministry. Go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com. I showed you the website earlier. Click on Donate. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Click on Donate. And for a donation of $100 or more, we will mail you all five of these books as a gift to you. Don has gifted them to us. We want to gift them to you. But Don said, I want folks to donate to your ministry. And so it's gift to gift to gift. It's a win-win-win situation. I hope you'll participate in it. We've run out of time. Don Jans, My Grandchildren's America. You can find him at CG Contributors. Click on his picture and head over to his website. But please consider making that donation to pick up these books today. I'll be back with more. Chaps joins me on the other side. Gordon Klingensmith, Chaps, Pray in Jesus' Name, the LGBT Agenda and its Assault on Our Kids. Back with more right after this brief break. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day. And I'm so pleased to welcome to the program Gordon Chaps Klingsmith. Chaps, PrayInJesusName.org is the website. PrayInJesusName.org. And what a pleasure, sir, to have you with me. Thanks for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Good morning, Pastor Greg, and God bless your listeners in Jesus' name. How many cities are you talking to right now?
Oh, my goodness. Probably about 45 or 50.
Wonderful. I'm so pleased. How can listeners in Colorado find you?
Actually, they can listen to me if they're in the Denver area on KHNC at 7 a.m. every morning.
Wonderful. Well, my greetings to anybody in Colorado. My name is Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt. I'm a former state representative from the Colorado legislature, also a former college faculty, Bible and theology, former Navy chaplain. I'm that guy who took a stand when the government said, don't pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I did that anyway, and I lost my career. But then a miracle happened. 300,000 people, many of your listeners perhaps, signed petitions, and Congress changed the law. So now the chaplains can pray in Jesus' name, in part because we took a stand together.
Amen. Amen. And boy, doesn't that just show you the power that we have when we choose to make a stand. The Word of God says, having done all, stand. And that stand is such an important piece of the equation. We need to take a stand today, chaps, right now. I mean, we really need to take a stand for our children's sake.
Yes, there is so much happening. You know, 15 years ago, I thought it would be a shock if a chaplain was not allowed to pray in Jesus' name. But today, we're seeing assault upon children. You know, not I'm a grown-up. I can handle a little court-martial. I can handle a little persecution because I've chosen this life. I've chosen to stand for Christ, as you were saying. But there are children today who are being recruited into all kinds of sin, and they don't even know which way is up, right? They're just figuring out who they are and what a boy is and what a girl is and how to have friends. And they're being targeted for transitioning from boy to girl or girl to boy as young as kindergarten. As soon as the parents let them out of their sight, as soon as the parents put them on that school bus, you don't know, parents, what your children are being subjected to on the other end of that school bus in a public government school. And sadly, that's where all of the LGBT recruiters are ready to greet them on the other side of that school bus when they get off. And they have 6, maybe 8 hours of indoctrination before the parents will see that child again. Used to be you could trust the public school. You could trust them to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now, that is almost being forgotten. The levels of reading coming out of high school now are back at sixth grade levels.
Yeah.
That's the average across America. And part of that's because of COVID. But I think homeschooling, the average reading level is 16th grade when they come out of 12th grade because they're already doing college level reading when they're homeschooled because the parent cares and the parent is responsible for their education. Homeschoolers and parents who do that are the tip of the spear. They protect and educate the next generation without any of this moral wokeness or immoral indoctrination that is targeting children across the country.
Well, and I have to tell you, we so many fell asleep on this. I remember meeting Peter LaBarbera at Value Voter Summit in 2014 in Washington, D.C. And I'd been fighting this in California for 18 years before we moved to Texas because they were pushing this on the kids there. And I remember having conversations with Homeschool Legal Defense Association and with those representatives, Will Estrada and others, talking about how in Massachusetts in the early 2000s, late 90s, they were teaching homosexual sexual relations in high school in Massachusetts to school assemblies, not in sex education class, chaps, but in the actual, they brought the whole school in and they had demonstrations on how to engage in homosexual sex. And everybody was turning a blind eye. Nobody wanted, nobody wanted to talk about it. Nobody wanted, and not even No churches. The churches weren't stepping up. The pastors weren't stepping up. Nobody wanted to have a conversation. I remember talking with Peter LaBarbera, who had Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, AFTA. And he was targeted by, the Southern Poverty Law Center, right? SPLC. He was targeted by all these groups. But he also was ostracized, even at Value Voter Summit. It was like, oh, you don't want to talk to that guy. Well, why? Oh, he's talking about homosexuality. We don't need to talk about that. That's never going to be an issue. Hello?
He was a prophet, and he still is. Now he's getting an expanded hearing. He's one of the top journalists, Peter LaBarbera, at WorldNet Daily. WND.com yep. lets him write a weekly or maybe sometimes daily column. And Peter has been a guest on our TV show many times, probably a guest on your radio show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He is waking up America to what he saw coming even before we now realize it.
And the sad part about it is you know, these efforts to, oh, we need to get our – look, I got into it with Governor Abbott right here in Texas because he wanted to push the preschool and let's get kids in at, you know, 4 years of age. I don't want to see four-year-olds in these public school indoctrination centers, chaps. And this attack and assault – on a child's innocence creates a trauma that will take years to unwind.
Yeah, we're seeing the good news is there's a turning point that America is slowly waking up. I just read a poll yesterday from Rasmussen that 56% of Americans now, depending on how you ask the question, maybe 52%, agree that the Supreme Court was correct in overturning Roe versus Wade. Even 34% of Democrats agree the Supreme Court was correct in overturning Roe versus Wade. Now, what they should have done was ban abortion, but what they did was they sent it back to the states. So now there are state debates in places like Texas, where you are, or which is conservative, Colorado, where I am, which is ultra liberal. And we are passing different state laws. As the founding fathers said, you know, the states are like the laboratory of democracy. So we are each experimenting. Here we're experimenting in Colorado, how many babies we can kill at an accelerated rate. And 2 out of 5 aborted babies in Colorado last year were as a result of abortion tourism. People from out of state coming to Colorado because our neighboring states, Wyoming, Kansas, Nebraska, Texas, Oklahoma, and maybe Utah, we're surrounded by conservative Western states that don't allow most abortions. But in Colorado, it's a free-for-all. So everyone's coming here to kill their children because Colorado allows even perinatal abortions, which means after the baby is born, around the time of the birth, then you can leave the child on the table to die for up to 28 days after it was born. So
it's murder. There's no way around it. I was watching one of those reels, the guy that was being interviewed was saying, you know, I'm for abortion all the way up. You know, yeah, you can have an abortion. It's the woman's body. And then the guy said, so what about meth? And the guy said, well, what do you mean? Well, you know, what if the woman decides that she's going to do meth? Oh, well, then somebody needs to step in and do something about that. And he was like, well, why? It's the woman's body. It's the woman's choice, right? She wants to do meth. Well, no, she's intentionally injuring the child. Oh. Interesting.
Another poll I saw is that up to 75% of Americans are against what has become the three issues in transgender law. And leftist states are taking this the wrong way. But conservative states like Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, they are, number one, passing laws to protect children from indoctrination in public schools, because parents have a right to say no on what's being taught to their children.
Yeah.
Number two, they are banning, for example, Ohio this past week, the state house passed a ban on surgical mutilation of genitals of children. And these permanent sterilizing hormone treatments that are given to children, those will be illegal in most of the red states. And number three, men should not be competing in women's sports, especially in high school or in college. You know, I just talked to a wrestling coach here in the state of Colorado. He works at a high school, public high school, and he was coaching the girls' wrestling team, which is not very ladylike, but okay, ladies want to do that. The problem is there are one or maybe three boys that are now trying out for the girls' wrestling team. And one of them is, you know, 220 pounds and, you know, wrestles like a man because he is a young man with all of his parts intact. And he is pinning these girls to the mat, and he's going to be promoted to the state finals here in Colorado if he continues on his undefeated win streak. That is largely unpopular. 75% of Americans hate those three indoctrinations of our children,
right,
and they are in favor of passing laws to ban the transgender recruiting or violating of children's privacy and safety. We are winning on these issues.
And I think parents are really beginning to wake up. You know, we've got parents that are going before their school boards, for example, talking about what their kids are finding in their libraries. One of the more pronounced ones was a young man named Knox Sajak, an 11-year-old, that read out of the pornographic book that was in his library, and he went before the school board and read it. New York Post covered that story. You have another one with ABC, humble ISD parents demanding boundaries regarding dirty books that were found at school. This goes on and on. The Christian Post, a mom blasts the school board for allowing books to be promoted. Loudoun County parents, Daily Caller covered a number of incidences where pornographic material, graphic pornographic material is being presented to children. And Chance, let me ask you, because this has been, just as an example, look at Florida. Ron DeSantis signed into law that children, and I think it's basically between 4 and 9 or 4 and 10, are not allowed to be introduced to this gender dysphoria. But pornographic material, all of this kind of stuff, where do we draw the line? I mean, in my opinion, this stuff doesn't belong in a grammar school or a junior high, or quite frankly, it really doesn't belong in a high school either.
Well, where I draw the line is biblical morality as defined by Jesus. When Jesus says, I think in Luke 18, that if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him if he had a millstone hung around his neck and he'd be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, Jesus is not advocating we drown people. What he's saying is the consequences are worse,
right,
in hell than they would be if he had been drowned in the sea. So the hell that is awaiting people who cause children to sin is much worse than being drowned with a millstone. So there is a judgment coming. Where I draw the line and where I think our government should draw the line is no homosexual indoctrination or even heterosexual sin should be taught in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Sin should never be taught to children.
Right.
Whether they're Christian children or Hindu children. I think, you know, Muslim children, most people of faith, whatever their faith is, have very conservative views of sexuality. And that's why even 47% of Democrats are against transgender sports. Only 43% of Democrats are in favor of transgender sports. And so even a majority of Democrats, accepting the people who were confused by the question, the Democrats are against transgender sports.
Right.
So I know many good Democrats who go to church, who have liberal values, but they have some semblance of belief in God. And my question for them is God watching what we allow to be done to our children? Yeah. Is God watching this? And what are you going to do when you stand before that God one day?
Well, I hear what you're saying. I think that if you are a part of a political party that is promoting abortion, that is promoting transgenderism, you were mentioning, did you just talk about the Methodists have now embraced homosexuality and abortion? On July 23rd, there are, I think, something like 6,000 congregations of Methodists that are going to leave the denomination because they believe that abortion and homosexuality are God's plan.
I did not say this, but I'm hearing reports of this. And I don't know. I would hope they have a vote to keep the Methodist Church under the holiness doctrine of John Wesley, who was largely the founder of the Methodist Church and the doctrines that were attributed to sanctification, which preceded the Pentecostal revivals of Azusa Street. The history and tradition of Methodism is that we must repent before God. We must live holy lives. We must love our neighbor. You know, the great charitable works that come out of the Methodist Church come out of the doctrine of sanctification and being right with God, loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
If Methodist bureaucrats or Methodist Pharisees in high levels of power, and they go and vote at these meetings, if they've now been overcome by the LGBT seminaries that are teaching their pastors to do gay weddings, then, yeah, there needs to be an exodus. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. I just hope it's not too late. Maybe they can vote the right way and save the denomination itself.
Well, according to USA Today, 6,000 congregations of United Methodists have voted. One-fifth of the United Methodist congregations in the United States have received permission to leave the denomination over disagreements over same-sex marriage and gay preachers. In annual conferences since 2019, 6,182 United Methodists voted to leave the church, which composes the second largest Protestant denomination. This year alone, 4,172 left, according to United Methodist News Service. Now, I can tell you that some of those that left because the leadership was wavering on this, and they were taking a biblical stand in their exodus versus those that were taking a non-biblical stand, and that seems to be what this is reporting.
Yeah, so there is no harmony with Belial, right? How can we worship God and the devil at the same time or side by side, right? If you're going to come into my church or I'm going to come into your church, I'm going to worship my God. And maybe you, like the prophets of Baal, are going to worship your God. But the God who answers by fire, he is God. And there needs to be a distinction in our madness, right? And that's why the American experiment with Protestantism in general is much different than the historical European divide between Catholic and Protestant. But in America, anyone can form their own church. Anyone can form their own nonprofit ministry, 501c3. Anyone can form their own doctrine or cult, or Mormonism is an example, right? There are American religions that spring out of nowhere because somebody had an idea and he created a following and it became popular. Well, when there is no authority that can overrule, and the government ain't going to do it, right? Because the government is secular, in a sense, constitutional. They're not going to force church conformity to a single doctrine. So you have thousands of Protestant denominations, and they all decide what is best for them. Well, this reminds me, you know, God condemns that in a sense, because everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. Mm-hmm. How do we get back to God's view of morality, especially on the hard issues like gay marriage or gay ordination? The only way for the church, and I'm talking the remnant, right, the holy people, mm-hmm. the only way for us to get back is through repentance and humility and let God be our God instead of pleasure or money or pride. All of these things that are distracting us prevent us from the humility and repentance to actually let God rule our hearts. And that is what I think the remnant needs to focus on.
Well, you know, the word of God in 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then it goes on to say, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So it clearly delineates that there's a difference, chaps, between who we were, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and who we become when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and allow that exchange of our old nature to be crucified with Christ, and the new nature to come in and now to receive that gift of salvation whereby our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
You're right, Pastor. And there's somebody out there who's waffling. They're on the fence. Maybe they don't know Jesus. Maybe they just tuned across your radio show by accident and they hear, oh, it's those conservatives, those right-wingers, they're talking about politics. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spirituality, and maybe you have some sense of spirituality. Maybe you consider yourself a prayerful person or a moral person. You're a good person. You go to work and you feed your family and you love your neighbor because you're friendly with the people next door. But you don't know Jesus Christ in the sense that we're talking about. He has never become the Lord and Savior of your heart, and you've never had that personal moment of introspection where you say, you know what, although I'm a good person, I am still my own boss, and Jesus has never become the boss of me. Yeah. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer to consider that and to consider your eternal state and to return wholeheartedly to the lordship of Jesus Christ and let him become, for the first time, the Lord and Savior of your heart and mind. If that's you, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I repent of my sins. And Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. And I turn away from everything I know to be sin because I don't want to be my own boss anymore. Jesus, I want you to be the boss of my life. I believe you died on the cross and were buried and resurrected to forgive my sins. And I receive that forgiveness. But first, I receive Jesus Christ in my heart as my Lord, my boss, and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Boy, I'll tell you, chaps, so important right now. And, you know, I was looking up 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 is our theme, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, but had not attained mercy, but now have. And then it says, "Dearly beloved, as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Folks, the Word of God clearly says that we're to abstain from those things, and the power of that transformation of what you just prayed can help that happen. If you're looking for some materials, reach out to me or reach out to chaps at PrayInJesusName.org. PrayInJesusName.org. We'd love to hear from you. Chaps, God bless you. Thanks for being with me. I look forward to having you back next month, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you all tomorrow, on Monday, actually, folks. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a blessed weekend. Stay tuned for Texas Fully Loaded coming up here on the network. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio on Monday.